Hey everyone, welcome to Snakebite Podcast number 28. As usual, we're brought to you with the help from the guys over at digbmx.com. I'm Shad Johnson, and today's pod, I sat down with Scott Town. We kind of wanted to go over the BMX Hall of Fame and the nominees this year, so we jumped into it. If you don't know Scott, he's been riding BMX since the 70s. He's been involved in the BMX industry since the 80s. And I still think he rides more than most of us. I mean, I think he rides almost daily. So he's a good dude to talk to. And I think he might have more information about BMX stuffed in his brain than I do. So, yeah, I had a fun time sitting down with him. Precursor warning to the pod. This by no means was meant to diss anybody or be negative. We kind of just wanted to go through the nominees, talk about things. But there is kind of a grading scale when we talk about it. So none of this is meant to take away from anybody's riding. We just want to talk about who we think is deserving, who on the list should go in, who maybe we think it's too soon. So just wanted to get that out there. But other than that, sit back and enjoy the show. And I can cut some of this out, but you talked to Shannon Gillette at USA BMX today to kind of, you and I both wanted to kind of figure out the whole Hall of Fame thing. This is kind of our jumping in to just figure out how it works and, you know, talk about some of the riders, because I personally feel like this is something like the last 4 years I get excited to see. And yep. I want to kind of know the nuts and bolts and the ins and outs. And I'm sure there's lots of other riders that do. So it's like, you know, hopefully we can bring some light to that and bring some attention to the Hall of Fame, because I want the Hall of Fame to be awesome. You know,
it's like, yeah, exactly.
I want to celebrate riders that have done a lot for, you know, the sport side, if you want to call it sport, because I don't really like call freestyle sport, but
and I don't either, but it's the easiest thing to call it, right?
Like, yeah, it is the easiest thing to call it. So, do you want to maybe just kind of go through, like, I guess the little bit of breakdown, like how we were talking about?
Yeah, I think the important thing for us to try to establish is like awareness of how the process works, because I didn't know either. I've been a Hall of Fame voter for quite a few years at this point. And I just wondered, especially this year, I hate to say, like the freestyle category is like this. What's the process? Like, how are these people ending up here? And like, so
not to say that people shouldn't be on the list.
It's
all over the place, kind of.
It is all over the place, exactly. And anyone can be nominated. A person can nominate themselves, I've learned, which is fine. Like, if you're running for president, you vote for yourself when you vote, right? Like,
yeah,
I assume. And then there's a committee that approves the nominees.
And the committee is through USA BMX, right?
And the committee is USA BMX. Okay. I'm not sure who's on the committee, and I'm not questioning their integrity or judgment or anything else, but that's essentially how it works. There's quite a long, you know, it's a window to nominate, to vote, and then once it's established, then there's vote, like the vote, and to vote for the actual Hall of Fame, you can only choose from the nominees. So like, I'm an official voter, for example. It's a bunch of weirdos like me. It's not anyone special. There's a lot of voters. I don't even know how many voters there are.
Yeah.
But I'm one, so there must be a lot.
And you get to vote for every category?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes. Yep. For industry and racer.
Because we're going to be just talking about Freestyle Day, but there's like industry, the old school BMX racer. There's new school BMX, or just BMX racer. Isn't there women's racer too?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. So
I think that might be it. I think that might be the categories.
Okay.
But industry is one. Yeah. I mean, it's not our place to make these decisions, but there almost needs to be freestyle industry too, you know, but.
And a women's one probably here soon, you know, I mean, there's, I think, you know, cause girls BMX is so big now, but we're going way back, you know, there's,
yes,
there are some, women riders that definitely, you know, Nina always comes to mind, you know, she's around forever. Chris Dachi, you know,
Chris Dachi is the first one. Like she,
yeah, I
she's
think always there. On the freestyle side, she was the first sponsored kind of big time freestyle rider.
100%.
Yeah. So, but, yeah, let's, so the nominations public, anybody can put somebody's name in and then it goes to the USA BMX, they vote on who they're taking for the nominations that year.
Yep.
And then there's another vote with voters like you, and that's what whittles it down to the winner, right?
Correct.
Okay.
But so essentially I'm just picking from this list. Like I can't, there's no write-in nominees or anything like that.
Yeah. So yeah, I mean, that seems pretty straightforward. When I first learned about the Hall of Fame, I thought it would have been like the people that would have voted for it, you know, would have kind of thrown in their own nominations because they're, you know, they're knowledgeable about it. So they'd have been like, these are the freestyle people that we think should be in. And then I thought it would have been more of a two-step process than a three-step process.
Right.
So.
Yeah, I agree. Anyone can nominate someone. Then it goes to committees of each category. Each committee is mainly comprised of Hall of Fame members in the respective category. Oh, so that we were wrong about when we were discussing that earlier. I guess we were wrong about that.
Okay.
So the committee that's approving the nominees is comprised of existing members of the Hall of Fame. So, I mean,
there's a lot of racers and a lot of race industry, but not that many freestyle riders yet.
Right. Because the freestyle category hasn't been part of the Hall of Fame for very long. I don't know how many years we're into it at this point, but
it's probably something we should have looked at. I feel like it's less than 10 years.
I'm sitting at a computer. I can probably get to the bottom of it.
Okay. So while you look that up, I'm going to pull up the list of nominees and I'm just going to read them out for people right now, that may have not looked at it or, you know, this is all super new to them. Cause I'm sure some people, this podcast is going to come out and they're gonna be like, oh, this is kind of different. So for freestyle, there's two categories. There's early freestyle and freestyle. I think a few years ago there was just freestyle, but the list kept stacking up and stacking up and they only take one person. So it might take a lifetime to get people in that you think should be in. So there is two categories. I'm going to read off early freestyle. And one of the things I'm not aware of, and I don't know if when you talked to Shannon, Dave, if you found out, do you know the year cutoff for early freestyle to freestyle?
No, I don't. And that's something we talked about the other day. And I'm looking at the website right now. For 2022, there's two freestyle, but they're not. Oh, but it's just the way they're listed, apparently, because it shows there's two winners for racer also. And one is clearly the early racer because it's Andy Patterson, who quit racing in the early 80s.
Yeah.
And then the other one is Randy Stumphauser, who, you know, was still an active pro up until
the early 2000s.
Early 2000s, right. And freestyle is listed the same way, and it's Kevin Jones and TJ Lavin.
Yeah. And I mean, Kevin, I mean,
that long for Kevin to get in kind of speaks to. So 2019, John Diz Hicks early, and then Jamie Beswick.
Okay.
But that's the most recent one I'm seeing on here. They
go back because I know Wilkerson's in it. I know Martin Aparillo's in it. I believe Dominguez, Blyther, Volker. There's a good amount of dudes in there.
I can probably figure it out.
Okay.
Because
I'm gonna read through this list really quick, and then while you're looking at that, and
we could have prepared better for this, Shad.
Well, here I can cut this right here if you just want to find it really quick, and then
This is real time information. So 2012, there's no freestyle.
There's no freestyle. Okay.
So 2013 must be the first year for freestyle, and it's only one category, and it's Ron Wilkerson.
That makes sense. I mean, Ron's done probably more than a lot. He's definitely in top three of people who've done the most for freestyle.
Right. And Bob Harrow, I'm sure, has been in for industry or whatever for a long time. So
yeah,
I don't know what year he went in, but I know for a fact Bob Harrow was in the Hall of Fame.
And so who's on for 2014?
Martin Eparillo.
Okay.
So it's already kind of weird. Like, not there 100%, but like Martin before Eddie? I don't know.
Yeah.
Woody Itzen, you know.
Not saying Martin shouldn't be in, you know, like.
No, he should be in there without question, but like he was an early guy for sure.
Yeah, because Martin started popping up heavy in the freestyle scene. I mean, he was popping up in BMX Action before freestyling came out, if I'm correct.
Yeah, he was there real early, riding like a PK Ripper, and like he was in like some of those skate park events.
Did he ride for GJS before GT?
Yep.
Yeah,
I think he did.
So
then after Mace did,
and then after Martin, so that would be 2014.
Brian Blyther.
That's 2015. So that.
Yep. So every time I scroll back, I have to like, if I can criticize USA BMX about one thing, it's this website is a little wonky, man. And if you try to blow up this image that lists all the Hall of Fame members, it's a dead link. 2016. Okay, so here there's two entries.
Okay, so this is where
there's two winners.
Okay.
So we have Pioneer, I guess, and then Modern. So it's Dennis McCoy and Dave Mirra.
Those are two
which
great.
Which is funny because they're contemporary. You know, in a lot of ways, they're contemporaries, even though Dave is a lot younger than Dennis.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, Dennis's career, I mean, it's been going for so long.
Yes.
Now, one of the things, so when that came out, Dennis was still riding pro. One of the things I did find kind of odd on the list, and this is just my opinion, is there's some people on the freestyle side, not really the early freestyle side, but on the freestyle side, that are still pros.
Right.
You know, to where they, you know, maybe they're not competing, but I mean, Corey Nastasio, Corey for sure should be in. But Corey's still a very, in my eyes, a pretty active pro.
Absolutely.
You know, you've got Chad DeGroote, and Chad's another dude that I think should totally be in, but Chad's still doing things, you know, maybe not as much as Corey, like with, you know, contests and stuff. You know, I'd say Trevor Meyer, but I don't think Trevor's ever stopped, like, you know, doing shows and stuff. So, I mean, I guess maybe those two. But, you know, when Dennis went in, Dennis was still riding Provert and Pro Park contests, I believe, you know?
Oh, absolutely. I know this because we just, it's on part of that project I'm working on right now. He rode in contests. The only reason he's not riding in contests right now is because there haven't been any since COVID. You know, he wrote in contests right up until COVID, and there hasn't been like a true vert contest since then, or at least not one that was accessible to him.
So after Dennis and Dave, that you said that was 2018 or 19?
Sorry. 2017 is Dave Volker.
But there's only one that year?
Yeah.
So
I want
that may have been when Dave passed away, they just put him in.
That's what I was thinking too, because 2016 is when he died. So
yeah,
that makes sense, and that's probably why. So when do we get to 2018, okay. Freestyle industry. Bob Morales. Who should be in there?
Oh, for sure.
But they listed as freestyle industry, which is kind of weird. And then also Fuzzy Hall. So we have two, but one's industry. And Bob Morales, even though he's a rider.
But he should be in more for industry.
Correct. And Rick Malaterno's in here for freestyle industry. Oh, maybe they're listed for both because it's freestyle, comma, industry. It's kind of weird.
Okay.
Because Malaterno should be in there for both.
Yeah, yeah.
And Bob Morales too. But it is kind of weird how they're listed. And then there's a third one with Fuzzy Hall, who's also a racer. Fuzzy's getting muddy.
Crossover. I mean, did Fuzzy ever, he raced AA for a hot minute, right? But mainly A Pro?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was never like a top AA Pro. But
still, just
that's a racing background.
If you even make it to AA Pro in the early 90s, it's pretty gnarly.
Right. Oh, absolutely. So 2019 is the last year that they listen to this, and it was Disix and Jamie Bestwick.
Okay. And then there's no more. I know the people have went in since then too. Or was did COVID?
You don't understand because when you go to the page, the 2022, it lists the 2022 winners, but then there's no, I don't know where 2021 is. Like there's a little scrolling thing that starts over every time. Like you have to go back to 1985 and like scroll left to get to the current ones, and it stops in 2018.
We can probably just leave that be and maybe just jump into these riders and just let's just talk about the riders and just kind of be psyched on them and let people.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, early freestyle is Dave Vanderspeck, Hugo Gonzalez, and Pete Augustin.
Like, and those three those are the three highlighted ones. So they're brought over from last year?
Correct. That's how that works. So those first three that are listed, those are carryovers from last year that didn't win. I mean, I don't know what we can do about this. They say this about the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame too, is that it's behind. Like freestyle especially is so far behind. The two per year, like,
yeah,
by the time you know Jeff Watson's in it, he'll have been gone 20 years, or you know, you just never know, he may never get it, you know.
Yeah, I know I was talking with a few people, and it's like there are some riders here that have passed, and it would, and the riders that have passed, I feel like, are all, if I was to, you know, have if I was had my own Hall of Fame, which I don't, you know, but you got Dave Vanderspeck. You got Jeff Watson, Colin Winkleman, and Kevin Robinson. I mean, those are all solid dudes. I mean, it's like, I feel like maybe just push them all in at once, like they did with Dave.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, to me, there's no question on those. And I know some people aren't familiar with Jeff Watson, and we'll get to him, you know, but. All four of those guys, I mean, I think are rock solid, you know?
Oh, yeah, no question on any of those guys, including Jeff Watson. And I know that's why Jeff Watson, he's been on the list for years at this point, and people just don't know who he is. And I'm older than everyone, so I remember. But I'm just surprised that he doesn't make it in, because the older, all the first-generation racer guys know who he is.
Yeah,
you know?
Like Stu and Eddie and –
Yeah, all those guys. Eddie talked about him in your Snakebite podcast. Yeah. I learned more about Jeff Watson. Is super mysterious. Like, no one seems to know much about him at all. Like, his personal life, right? Like, he didn't talk much. He's kind of this quiet, kind of Hessian dude that brought this huge ghetto blaster to the skate park.
Coke bottle glasses.
Yep. And that the birth of the freestyle movement, they got quite a bit of info about him. But it's all, like, kind of observational information. Like, people saw what he did, but didn't really seem to really know him or anything.
Yeah, and just but for people that are listening, Jeff Watson was an early skate park pioneer.
Yes.
Kind of, he had a few kind of famous covers. There was like was there BMX Action or is it Action Now?
Both. He was on the cover of BMX Action and also Action Now, which is like Action Sports magazine magazine that became. They added BMX and all these other kind of alternative sports. It was really ahead of its time, and I loved Action Now, but like skateboarders hated it because they had BMX and go-karts and motocross.
Yeah, yeah. But
they got a little weird.
Action Now covers kind of an iconic cover
him. Yeah, absolutely.
But he was kind of one of the first dudes to do four, you know, real airs, like 4 feet,
yes,
5 feet, you know, like he was like a, you know, one of the first dudes to do airs, you know,
big airs on big vert, bigger like airs, a lot, yeah, of like in the BMX magazines, like the famous Tinker Juarez pictorial in Bicycle Motocross Action, like most of those, and it was rad. I'm not taking anything away from it because it was a game changer. But a lot of that stuff was like fly out or like jumping out to banks.
Yeah.
But Jeff Watson was riding vert, and he was riding like full pipe and getting super high in the full pipe at Pipeline. And he was a Colton Skate Ranch local. That's where he rode. And that was like big, you know, land of the giants,
yeah,
big bowls. And he's airing out of coping. And he did a lot of fly out stuff too, but just such a super rad dude.
And super, super early on. So, I mean, that's
way early.
So I mean, that's why I feel like he should be in, you know, and that's one of the things that, you know, I feel like, you know, that, it's just a good thing to talk about. So maybe somebody's listening to this and they're on the board or something, and they do a little more research into Jeff Watson because, yeah, I mean, he definitely should be in. So
I think people just dismiss him because they just aren't familiar. No, they just don't know about him.
Yeah.
And that's me.
So we got those three, and like Dave, like we got Hugo Gonzalez, which Hugo, you know, another early skate park pioneer, NorCal legend, kind of,
yep,
I would say kind of the first dude at contests, and I could be wrong because I wasn't around there, but at least from an outside observation, and I've looked at a lot of those old contests, kind of the first, I don't want to say huck it, but you know, like the first loose cannon wild card at contests, you, yeah, know?
Absolutely, that jumped over the fence at the end of the Pipeline or the Del Mar Skate Ranch.
He did the fence ride out of Pipeline.
Yep, he did a lot of wild shit.
I mean, it wasn't called a Canadian nose pick then, but he did the Canadian nose pick drop in and, yep, went straight over to his head in, was that 85 Pipeline series?
Yeah, so gnarly. Might have been 84. Like that one's gnarly because he just goes straight to his dome. No, yeah, he was super rad and like kind of wild hucker style, but man, he really did send it like on a level that no one else was doing.
He rode up into the, you know, pretty, he rode two hip, you know, King of Verts till like, I think 89, you know, and I know he was 88.
I don't know about that, but
he rode the 80s. Colorado one.
Did he?
Yeah, he rode the Colorado one when he was on Skyway. He rode the Colorado, the one at the baseball field.
Yeah, I was there. I was on the deck.
Or did they do that 2 years? Was that the Pepsi one? I mean, I know you were there.
There's only 1 year of that. I mean, it doesn't matter. I'm not trying to.
Yeah, yeah. But I think, you know,
there's no question he should be in it though. Like, without question, he, you know, he deserves to be in the Hall of Fame.
He definitely deserves to be in it. So just so you know, we're doing this meeting, this recording on Zoom, and I've never used Zoom. And here's a funny thing. I'm having to upgrade it so we get longer time right now.
A feeling that's where you were getting at.
I'm doing that as we talk. So, do you want to kind of run through the other ones and we can chat about those?
Yeah. Oh, dude, I wrote this article. I looked it up.
And yeah.
I totally mentioned Hugo. Hugo looked good, but he got fifth. That's what I said about Hugo.
And was that the Colorado contest?
Yeah, it was 87. Yeah, Colorado Springs.
Okay.
That was a fun one. That was a good contest. Do you want to talk about the rest of these dudes? Seppi Mays, super rad. He should be in. We got to be careful now, right? Like we're gonna say the wrong thing. But there's definitely some standouts. Seppi Mays, Dave Norrie, without question. I mean, Seppi was really, his run wasn't real long, but he was an early dude, and he really brought a lot. He brought that whole kind of artistic. He brought so much style to it.
I was gonna say Seppi definitely was one of those early dudes that like, you saw, and it's like his tricks were rad, but you just saw him and you're like, this dude looks cool. He's got dope style. Like his bike, yeah, his bikes were always like those CWs he had with the drum brakes and everything.
Yeah.
They were always super sick looking. And, you know, he just, that, I mean, the early CW team really had a good vibe going, you know, but
absolutely.
yeah, Seppi looked like that dude that you're like, I want to hang out with this dude. You know, like he looks sick.
Yeah, he didn't look like a racer on, you know, trying to fit into freestyle or anything. Not...
Yeah, he just looked like what you, he looks like what you think a cool freestyle dude would have looked like back then.
Yeah, exactly. Dennis Langlais, he's super rad.
Dennis almost pulled a 900 at the Portland, the 88 Portland AFA Masters.
On an 8-4.
He landed 720. I feel like his spin looks so good. If he would have maybe tried it a few more times, and I know the AFA was strict on their time, I feel like he could have done it. Like, it's up on the Snakebite YouTube if you want to watch it. But Dennis Langlais, kind of, I don't know, you know, he definitely on the cusp, but he was super rad.
He was. I was there for that, and it was like, holy shit, he almost did it. Yeah.
On a very skinny ramp.
On that really narrow ramp, and keep in mind that's before Matt had landed it, before anyone had landed it. So,
yeah, was that even probably before Dominguez had landed one?
Well, Dominguez, we don't know if Dominguez ever landed one.
I mean, that is the mystery, but I've heard Dominguez landed him on his ramp.
Yeah, we've been hearing that since 1988.
But, yeah, no. I feel like his attempts, especially the one at that was it the velodrome where they had the 16-foot wide quarter? Was that 88? Where his hand just came off? I mean,
yeah.
I feel like it backed it up pretty good, you know?
Oh, no, dude. I've said this before. Like, if he wasn't running Tough Wheels, I think he would have landed most of those.
I agree with you.
Like, spoke wheels would have made the difference because the bike would have spun better and, like, the flex out thing. Because the one at the Enchanted Ramp, I'm not positive of this, but it looks like the Tough Wheels, like, kind of bound up, you know, how like they'll flex against the forks and whatnot, you know, like I'm not sure that happened, but I feel like that played a part in him not landing because that one was real close too. Yeah, he was rad, dude, and the way he did it looks so fucking cool, dude. Like no one's like Dominguez. Is Dominguez not in this?
Yeah, I don't think Dominguez. He must be. I mean, I would think he'd be in the Hall of Fame, but
I'm done. If Dominguez isn't in this, we're done. Like, come on, dude.
I mean, Dominguez is, dude, Dominguez, gosh, it's so weird to me sometimes, and this is a little off topic of the Hall of Fame, but it's so weird to me, like, by 1993, people didn't know who Dominguez was. You could bring it up to, like, writers, and people were like, who? You know, maybe some.
Yeah, I know.
There's, like, and you're in 1995. No one knows who Dominguez is. And it's like,
right.
His last contest was in 1990. It was at Newport Beach. And I think he just rode kind of in that. But the contest before that at Long Island, where he did that like 10-foot high 900 attempt and just rattled his brain because he hung up front tire coming in. So that was, you know, his pro career ended in 90. I know he, you know, Mike was, you know, we've seen Mike ride since then, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
It is crazy, like when once you got in the mid 90s, so many dudes like that were so influential. You talk to, you know, some dude riding a mini ramp at, you know, one of the contests back in the day, and you're like, oh hey, you know who Mike Dominguez is or Dino DeLuca, and dudes would it's just such a short time where dudes poof because there were really no magazines or anything to keep people informed. So once that media expired, no one knew, you know?
Yeah, and it really did expire. Like, it just straight up went away. And Dino DeLuca is a good example of someone that just disappeared. Like, no one knew anything about that dude, you know?
And he was
win or anything.
Top, you know, top pro for what? He turned pro in 88? 80, late 80s?
He turned pro kind of late. He waited a while to turn pro.
Yeah, I think
he was top AM for so long, you know?
Yeah,
like, I mean,
he should have turned earlier, but yeah.
Well, had he known freestyle was about to die, he probably would have.
Yeah. Dino is, I mean, I've always been a big fan of Dino's riding. He's awesome. And Dino's another dude that isn't on this list that, you know, I think
should be on this list way ahead of a lot of these people. So
next up is Eddie Roman.
Yep.
And Eddie could be in on industry with videos.
Yeah.
Probably. He laid, I mean, Eddie kind of laid the, I mean, there's other dudes like, you know, Vanderspeck and dudes, but Eddie really kind of laid the groundwork for street riding for what we see street riding now. Oh, yeah. Wall rides, grinds,
fakie tricks.
He did. You see some of the fakie stuff he did because he's riding a coaster brake, but it looks like it's like 2007.
Yep, and no one even, and even me, like I said, I was there firsthand for a lot of that, and like it just didn't register. And when I look at it now, I'm like, holy shit, dude, he did a fakie, just rollback fakie hop off a super tall ledge, you know?
And yeah. In like 1987 and 88.
Yeah. He's and maybe that. We dismissed it because he was riding a coaster brake, but Pete Augustin rode a coaster brake a lot of the time. You
Todd
know?
Anderson like, rode a coaster brake, you know?
Todd did forever, but, you know, even like some street dudes, like Pete did, you know? So, you know, it was, Eddie was a weird one because he wasn't, like, I always liked Eddie and everything, but like as a ramp rider and all that, like he was just kind of, I mean, he's above average. He was sponsored by Skyway and all that. Yeah, but
I posted.
He wasn't one of the top dudes. And then Street comes along, and you're like, whoa. He just reinvented himself because he invented half the shit.
He could definitely ride a quarter pipe. I posted one of his AFA runs the other day, and he's doing like really nice looking can one handers, like 5 feet out. You know, like,
yeah. But
he definitely shined when it came to street riding. And then his influence with his videos along with that. I mean, it's just.
Oh, yeah. No question.
His videos still influence riders to this day, you know, like, so he's definitely a shoe in. Next up is Fred Blood.
Next up is Gary Laurent.
Oh, okay. So we're up to Gary Laurent. So Gary Laurent.
Gary Laurent is super rad.
Gary, and I know Gary's, he's kind of like always been that dude that's kind of like, I mean, did Gary ride pro? Did he end up riding pro in the early 90s?
For freestyle? I don't know, but he's a pro so racer. He's like Rick Valentino. He's like,
he was a gnarly racer.
Very capable racer. But the reason people don't know about Gary Laurent is because he was a Vegas show guy for so long and made a living at BMX, probably a better living than most of the pros were making, just doing shows in Vegas, like the Splash Show or whatever. For every night for years and years and years, you know, and meanwhile, I was riding every day and like,
getting better. When you saw him like around like 1990, 1991, there's like the Thrasherland contest. He's still on free agent.
Yeah.
He's doing like pretty high 540s, going so high.
Yeah.
I mean, he's got early lip tricks. I mean, yeah, Gary, I mean, if you think about all the shows he's done, I don't know where he, you know, how, you know, racing's a little different than freestyle because you're going to look at how they did. And I don't know.
Of course.
I don't know enough about Gary's race.
Yeah, he wasn't national number one or anything like that, but he was very capable. Same with Moliterno. It's not like.
Moliterno raced a pro, right?
Yeah, but I think he raced AA for a real short time. I think so. I should know that. But
I mean, Gary's one of those dudes that I've always really liked Gary's style, and I think he's put into BMX for so long. He still shows. And I think that's one thing in BMX, like sometimes the newer school kids, the shows are so much part of it with the old school thing and how much you put out and, you know, you brought people to BMX. I mean, there's dudes on the list that I think would go in before Gary, like Eddie and stuff, but I think it's definitely fair that Gary's on this list.
Is Eddie Fiola not in it? Like he wasn't on it.
Let's talk about Eddie Roman. Fiola is in the Hall of Fame.
What year did he go in, though?
I don't know.
One of the years that's not listed here, maybe?
Probably one of the years that's not listed.
I'm going to text him right now and
ask him.
They need to update this website.
So next up is Jeff Watson, and we kind of covered Jeff Watson. I mean, is there any...
Yeah.
I mean, if you want, look up Jeff Watson. Every photo of him is just awesome looking. His bikes look just... raw. He looks raw. It's awesome. So next rider after Jeff is I feel like he should already be in for what he did is Joe Johnson.
So Eddie, going back to Eddie Fiola, he was inducted into the Hall of Fame in 2009.
So before they even had a freestyle category.
Yeah, but as a freestyle pioneer, so that's kind of weird. But I'm glad he's in there. Maybe Mike Dominguez is too, but I'm sorry, I'm bouncing around. So we, I guess we covered Jeff Watson. I always vote for Jeff Watson, and it's hard sometimes because, like, of course I want to vote for Pete Augustin. I love Pete, and he deserves to be in there.
Yeah.
And Kevin Jones, like, it's a no-brainer, dude. Kevin Jones has to be in the Hall of Fame. But, and then other dude, Josh White, you know, we didn't get to him yet, but.
Yeah, we're at Joe Johnson right now, and Joe had a pretty awesome, you know, you could put him down for his, for him and like how he did in contests, and I think he'd make it in, but you could put him down for tricks he invented, and I think he'd
be.
And then you could just put it down, just his style and what he brought, you know, he could get in on, I mean, if there was like tiers, he would be top tier of making it into the Hall of Fame. You know, he had a great career, you know, when he rode for Haro. And then when Josh White left GT, or they let Josh go, because I know he was kind of injured and kind of over competing and going through their rigorous tour meat grinder. Joe Johnson stepped in, and that's when he started doing the double tail whips. And so
I saw Joe Johnson almost land a triple tail whip in 1989 at Woodward. I was I saw him do it. I'm like, well, what the fuck? And the difference with Joe Johnson is he, not only did he do those tricks first, he was dialed. Like, I mean, he didn't land that one, but like when he did a tail whip air, like he landed at the coping, he landed smooth.
He did double tail whips. What, within a year later after?
And they were smooth and solid. Like there was no huck factor. Like the dude was in control, and it was just so legit.
So the next one after Joe, I mean, this one definitely, you could, you know, people that are on the committee and everybody, this one could be a hot button rider, is Jose Yanez.
Yeah. We'll talk about him in a second. The, I don't know what's going on here, cause I'm on 2009 for the Hall of Fame, and it's Eddie Fiola and RL and Mike Buff.
Both those dudes, I feel like, should be in.
100%. No, dude, RL should be in there 50 times because he contributed so much.
RL's done so much stuff, and you know, he was still kind of popping up in the scene a bunch till recently. And I feel like he's pulled back a little bit. RL's, I don't think, really ever stopped riding. He's always been still enjoying his BMX bike, you know. I know when no one saw him for like 30 years, I would talk to people that were in NorCal, and they're like, oh, I saw him at some dirt jumps, you know?
That's crazy. And it looks like it, those videos last year, whatever, that he was doing as a kid. I was like, holy shit, he's like jumping doubles.
But he's like 56?
Dude, he's older than that. He's got to be 59, maybe 60.
And he's still doing like peg stalls on coping and stuff. So if you're pushing
and 60, learning a lot of that shit, new to him.
He was still doing some, you know, he has his flatland bike and was still doing that. And I mean, RL.
Okay, so 2010, Woody Itzen's in here. So I don't know, because the later ones, I looked at them again and they just do not list them. So I don't know what's going on. So Mike Dominguez, 2011. Sorry, guys. God. Mike Dominguez in here. Rusakawa. Yeah, so.
Well, you want to talk about Jose Yanez?
Yeah, we can talk about Jose.
I don't know if everybody listening probably knows who Jose is, but Jose invented the backflip.
Yep.
In 83, 84?
Yeah, so early. Long before anyone else did it.
There's a sequence in like BMX Plus or BMX Action back then, I think, with it, right?
Yeah, it was in BMX Action, and probably it was in BMX Plus too, but he's the guy that did the backflip in Rad.
Yep. Like
he was the stunt man. And I don't think he could do any other tricks ever.
Yeah.
Like, the dude could barely, I remember the article, he learned them like jumping into a lake. Like, he lived, I think he's from Arizona, you know, like just partying at the lake and learned to flip into the lake. And he had the crazy ramp, like the kind of Evel Knievel setup. Not
Steve Takeoff. Which they still used till the early 90s to kind of do flips. Like Jeff Cotter would do them on a ramp like that.
Right, right. But that's all you can do. It's a one trick pony, but it's a hell of a trick.
So then here's it is. Do you think inventing the backflip on BMX has so much pull that it pulls you into the Hall of Fame?
I mean, it's pretty important. Like, yeah. It did change. I mean, look at if we expand into the whole world of our, you know, action sports. I don't like that term either, but I mean, the freestyle motocross dudes and everyone else, like,
it all started with Jose.
Did Jose backflip a motorcycle too? I feel like he did.
He was the first person to backflip a motorcycle also.
Yeah. And he was in the circus and did backflips on the bicycles too. And again, that's before other people were doing them, like for so long before anyone else did them.
Yeah. I mean, the next person that did them was Matt in 89.
Yeah.
Matt, like, he probably was doing them in 89. The magazine came out in 90 with the flip fakie.
Yeah. Yeah. Which that was a whole different thing, but
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, Jose, if Jose got in, I think it would be, if he ever got in, it would be by the skin of his teeth. But I mean, like you said, if you expand it, that influence, but then you can talk about, there's really nothing else that he gave, you know?
No, nothing. Like literally nothing.
So yeah, he's a hard one. But the rider right after him, I don't think is a hard one, is Josh White.
No, he's without question. And this is the same thing like we were talking about, like you were saying, people didn't know who Dominguez was. I think because Josh White kind of rode off into the sunset, people don't, you know, he wasn't still around. So people kind of just forgot. And that was like 88, 89 is when.
It was Josh White and Dominguez before Matt came.
Right. Absolutely. But when freestyle shit the bed, sorry for the crude term. It was kind of it kind of rose from the ashes with a new breed of riders. Not everyone was new, like Blyther was still there, and Dennis McCoy and Volker and those guys, of course. But Josh White wasn't there.
And Josh kind of had a bad injury.
Yes.
And then didn't compete for a while. And I think, you know, because Josh is from Oregon and we've talked about it. And I think he just, like, I don't know if everybody knows, but like, if you rode for GT in the 80s, dude. They toured you to death. Like everybody, I think Eddie will say it. Josh will say it.
Oh, yeah.
Say it. I'm a super, especially coming from the 80s, I'm a super GT fanboy. And I know all those tours brought so many people to riding, but I think they burnt out some riders. And I think Josh was top of that list. Monty Hill from Portland, he rode for GT. Mm-hmm. He did a summer tour and left early and he was just over it, you know, like.
Yeah. He was like done with BMX at that point, kind of, right?
He still rode well into, I mean, he was still riding consistently till like 94, 95 on
really
some ramps here. Yeah. He's in some of the early Infection videos. Riding vert. But
I just never heard anything else about that dude after that, you know?
Yeah. I mean, he still rips. A few years ago, he came and borrowed a bike because his sons are both pro motocross racers.
Oh, of course. Yeah.
And, he borrowed a bike because they ride BMX, and they sent me a photo of him in Vancouver, which has got like a 10-foot deep end. He's got cut off jean shorts, no shirt, a Pro Tech, and he's doing like 8 feet out on a borrowed bike at like 50.
No way, that's rad, dude. That's awesome. So,
but Josh is like, you were probably there. Josh and Dominguez are the first dudes to do high 540s. Josh might have done it right before Mike, like showed up the contest, started doing them 5 feet out. But Josh invented a ton of tricks, went super high, can 540 one-handers in like 88, which is just insane. One of the highest fakie airs you'll ever see. Yep. He and like Dominguez and like those dudes, but his style, everything was extended, everything was high.
Everything was high and fast. And the way his technique was so much different than everyone else. Like a Dominguez 540 was just a thing of beauty. It was like this, like a Blyther 540 with a real slow rotation. Like Blyther wasn't going to do the 900. Like the way he just spun so slow and it was awesome. Dominguez is kind of a little faster, but still kind of a slow rotation. But Josh White was just the highest air, spin the 540 at the peak of the air and then just come back in. Yeah, it was fucking gnarly and so rad and like just everything. I remember when he told me, because I would went on tour with him, and I was at most of those contests during that time. And like that, you know, you talk about kickboxing and all that. I'm like, oh, it all makes sense, dude, because that's the way he rides. It's just like fucking fuck, fuck,
fuck. Yeah, everything was like bam, bam, fully extended. Like,
yes.
But Josh, he won pro contests. He, you know, he, I don't know if he won the, did he win an AFA title like for, like for quarter pipe?
I don't know. But he might have.
I know he won a good handful of pro contests, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
And he still was a pretty good flatlander too.
Yeah, which is so funny.
Yeah, he definitely, I think, is a no-brainer, you know?
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, he's hands down. For me, he's like, from the 80s guys, like, he's like...
He's up there with Dominguez and Eddie and Brian and Ron, you know? There's like, maybe...
Yeah, he's you know? Top five guy for sure, yeah.
Yeah. Next one up, and I think this is where it comes to, and I don't know for sure, but we got Leonard Foster Jr. You and I had never heard of him. I did some digging, and I pulled up an AFA contest run of him.
And I was at that contest, so apparently I have heard of him.
Yeah, but an AM guy, but I think this is where it comes into where, you know, everybody can just nominate people.
Right.
And this is never a dig at anybody's writing, but, you know, either – Leonard I don't know anything about Leonard Foster Jr. Nope. So we're just going to, I guess, skip that. But I think that's where you can have the public nominations can come in. People can get on the list that maybe you've never heard of, where, you know, you're like, there's dudes I could put on the list that can fill in a bunch of these other, you know, dudes like this.
Right.
And there's never a sting at Leonard for being a writer or anything.
No, and for all we know, wherever he's from in his area, like maybe he was like just like kind of the regional kingpin dude that people didn't know about. Like,
yeah, but
and we don't, you know.
But I just don't. I just want to put that out there. Like, if somebody knows him, we're definitely not ever trying to take away some dude who's writing. But you know, when you put Leonard up to a Josh White or dudes like that, you're like.
He's in between Rich Segura and Josh White on this list. And
yeah.
Sorry, man. It's
yeah. So Rich is one of those dudes, early freestyle dude.
Early pipeline. Dude, yep.
Was he a pipeline local, or did he just ride a lot of the pipeline contests?
Yeah, I don't know if he was a local, but he for sure rode anyone that rode those parts in those contests, like they're on a different tier already just because those parks were – the pipeline was so gnarly.
Yeah, everybody I've talked to that's actually rode it just said it was just so scary.
It was terrifying to watch. Like, I went there a few times, and I don't even think I rode a bike there, honestly. I was skating a lot then, and I didn't really – we didn't have skate parks, so I didn't know how to ride that place.
Yeah.
I don't even think I rode a bike there, which seems crazy because that's what –
Because they rode the pipeline bowl. How deep was that bowl? Because I know they had the deeper bowl that was like 15 feet. They had the combi bowl. And then the pipeline bowl, was that around like 9 or 10 or bigger?
I think it was, I want to say it was 11. It was okay. Big.
That's and it wasn't big back then.
And it was all wavy and bumpy.
Yeah,
and
that's why you had to know your sweet spots.
Yeah, and Eddie knew all those. That's why Eddie just ruled that place, you know? Like, he knew exactly where to take off. Like, he probably had a nice little bump on the lip that he hit, or maybe it was not a bump, you know? But he knew that, like, it was, you know, the back of his hand. So that made the difference there.
But Rich
he's rad. Spider-Man Rich Segura, you know? Like, I don't know. Hall of Fame, like, it's pretty, considering how, like, we talked about already, it yet?
Nope. Sorry, you cut out for a sec. Here, you want to run that one by?
I said, like we talked about how far behind it is and how many people aren't in yet. Like,
yeah.
I don't know if he's there yet, but he's on the list, you know? I mean, he's literally.
No, I think Rich should be on the list. I mean, he you know, he rode pro ramp, rode pro flatland for the time. I mean, he definitely wasn't like, you know, reinventing the wheel with flatland, but he definitely was a good flatland rider at the time.
Right.
His last flatland contest might have been like 86 Velodrome or something, you know. But Rich definitely had a cool style back in the day.
Yep. He's a test rider for BMX Plus too.
Yeah. I mean, Rich, he got a lot of coverage. So, I mean, Rich, yep. I'm not mad at him being on the list.
No, me neither.
Robert Peterson's next. Schwinn Rider, Master of Balance.
The Master of Balance.
You know, it's like, Rob, he got a decent amount of coverage. I mean, how long was Robert Peterson in the scene, kind of like probably early AFA to like 86 at the most?
Yeah.
I mean,
it's weird to me because he must have still been collecting a paycheck from Schwinn, because in like those Yo ads.
Yeah, he's still
in 88. Because
I remember he had that photo of doing a frame stand down like a four stair or something later.
Yeah, he's in those ads. So I don't know. In my mind, he was done by then. But yeah, you know what? Like, he's from the era of like Flatland Freestyle where everything was new and dudes were inventing tricks and some stuck and some didn't. And he had his own thing. And like, it's not what freestyle became later. But
there's like the balance guys. Nori definitely stands high above all the balance guys.
Yeah.
In my book. And then there's Peterson, Brian Skura, kind of, which is weird. Skura's not on this list and Peterson is.
Yeah. Brian Skura's he's got to be in for like
industry.
He's got. Yeah.
And then there's Oleg. What's Oleg's last name? The other
balance? Oleg Konings or Konings. Yeah.
Which any photo I ever see of Oleg Koning, it's just awesome because he's got the rattiest bike.
Yeah.
Dude looked really raw for the early freestyle days, but Robert Peterson, I mean, that's for the committee to do. I'm just trying to think of, you know, like compared to some of these other dudes, how much more influence he had than them, you know?
Yeah. Josh White, Robert Peterson, come on. And I'm not taking anything away from him. He had his place, man, and he did his own thing. And he was clean cut, professional, well spoken. He wrote for Schwinn, like that all adds up, you know. Like, Oleg Koenigs maybe didn't hit it off with upper management at Skyway or whatever.
Pete Augustin definitely didn't hit it off with Schwinn management.
No, not at all. So,
was Robert Peterson and Pete Augustin teammates at one point? Probably.
Yeah. No, I think Pete was done with Schwinn by then, but because, I don't know. What the fuck do I know?
Next is Ron Wilton. And I don't know a ton about Ron. I mean, how much do you know about Ron?
You know, he kind of came and went, in my opinion, like, but he was an early dude, you know?
Yeah.
He was RL's kind of protege guy.
Yeah.
And, I don't know. I'm not too, he was in the magazines a lot, but it was for a real short window.
Yeah. To be honest, I should have looked up Ron Wilton. I mean, I know who Ron Wilton is, and yeah, he was kind of in that RL crew. But I don't know, you know, I mean, right now, if you and I are drawing blanks, it's like, you're like,
yeah, if like we talked about the other day, like I'm kind of generation before you. But we both know a lot. We both know who everyone is.
Yeah.
If we're not familiar with them, I'm not like,
yeah. I mean,
that sounds awful the way I'm saying that, but like,
yeah, it's like, we're not trying to shit on anybody in this thing.
No, or say that we know everything, but fuck, man, if you can't come up with anything, like,
yeah.
And I'm not, you know, like Ron Wilton, I think was a rad rider and everything, but he just kind of ended, you know, he just kind of went away and did something else, which is fine. But like, does that
to make it, if you're getting in the Hall of Fame, you got to put some meat on the bones.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you for wrapping it up.
Next would be Steve Swope. You know, he was always like, I mean, Steve, I think, is more known for industry stuff nowadays, even though when I was younger, Steve was, in my head, was the Cherokee Air guy, you know, and he was Matt Hoffman's best friend. Still an awesome vert rider. I'm pretty sure he invented, Head grinds on vert, even though in American Freestyler, maybe you were the editor then, there was a Hutch tour with Mike Dominguez in 86 doing a pedal stall at Kona, which I know is different than a peg grind, but the sequence of him doing a pedal stall on that kink quarter, and it's the same magazine that Dominguez is doing that big
air
out of that. But yeah, Swope's known for the peg grind, peg grind a fakie, yep. kind of Cherokee airs, a braided rat tail.
Braided rat tail, super high inverts. He was super
He had great inverts. Yeah.
He should be in the Hall of Fame just for being the guy pulling Matt Hoffman on the motorcycle. Like,
yeah.
just for picking Matt Hoffman up off the ground as many times as Steve must have done.
Oh, like, yeah.
Dude, just that then, poor guy. Like, he has that PTSD from being Matt's friend.
After Steve's pro career, which Steve rode for a long time, I think, till his knees went out.
Yeah.
He's still doing stuff in the industry, you know? Like, right. And with the industry stuff and the riding stuff, you know, I think it's kind of weird. I just think they should be put in on their merits. If it's industry this, you just when you put them in, you fill in the caption. I think that separation makes it hard on a lot of riders. But I think Swope should be in. You know, now if you look at this list, there's definitely dudes that should be in before Swope.
Yeah. You know,
so maybe.
But like you said, the industry component, and a lot of people don't know like how big of a component it really is, because he's the Woodward guy.
And he was and a lot to do with X Games.
The X Games guy, right. So those two things alone are huge. And he's behind the scenes guy. He wasn't like sandwich board, check me out guy. Like, he's dude handling business. So,
and still amazing, amazing bike rider. And probably and one of the first dudes to do flip fakies right there with Matt.
Oh, there you go.
So, the next one, I mean, this is a deep cut. But he definitely, he is an icon, is Ted Emmer. He wasn't a pipeline guy. He was a,
Lakewood.
Lakewood guy. But he was always, he entered all the contests on a 24. He was a 20, he was a cruiser guy, he was probably the first well-known cruiser freestyle guy.
Yeah. You know,
there's always been a handful. I grew up with a cruiser freestyle guy that still rides. Nice. Ted Emmer. Got a fair amount of coverage up to maybe like 85.
He was done pretty early, but super rad.
Probably
good style.
You know,
I feel like he was kind of novelty guy in the magazine, like because he was riding the cruiser. Maybe he made it in there because of that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because it was something different.
I mean, he still was getting rad on the cruise. I mean, he was airing pipeline on a cruiser he was getting down, but I guess you probably have to talk to Eddie and more of those dudes that were there, you know, because all we really saw was photos of him, you know?
Yep. But I mean, he could certainly do it. You can't fake the funk, man. Like, you're not, you know, airing out of those crazy bowls on any kind of bike and not having real consequences. Like, you can't pretend, you know? So he was rad. Another kind of came and went, dude, but he is a real early guy. But then there's other guys like him, like Steve Bioair Bennett.
Yep.
He was the dude, and he's passed away too. That guy was super rad. He was
rad.
He was the first dude doing the Bioair, which is just
on his leathers, he had his name upside down because when he'd air, he'd be pointing straight down. So it'd be, I totally spaced that. Yeah, I mean, he's like right there. He was the first dude to air the channel on the Combi too, wasn't he?
Oh, really? I don't know. Maybe.
I could be wrong on that. I bet if Dom's listening, Dom Phipps, he would know. But I want to say he was the first dude to air the channel on the Combi Bowl.
Oh, wow. There you go. And then Fred Becker from that same era. Yep. That dude was super rad.
And see, this is where the public voting comes in. It's like a lot of people that would vote for them are older or passed away, that they're
56 years old. They're not voting, right? That's the problem.
Like early 60s, mid 60s. They're not gonna,
yeah.
You know, BMX has been around a long time, but all those names you said, I mean, those dudes are early icons, you know?
Yep. Fred Becker probably is in his early 60s. I guarantee he is,
because he's got to be older than RL, and RL's pushing 60.
Yep.
So
I know. Yeah.
But I think Ted Emmer should be on the list. You know, like, I don't, as a nominee, it doesn't bother me at all.
He's okay as a nominee, right? I know.
Well, like, I mean,
I hope Ted doesn't hear this and get bummed out.
No, I don't mean it like that. I mean, the thing that sucks is they just take one a year. It's like, pop it up to three. Do three in each category. I mean, I know it makes it hard for the event, But darn it, it's just so, it's so behind. And that's not, and I'm not
never going to
get anything about USA BMX because
no.
USA BMX has done a lot for BMX. And I know running that nuts and bolts operation is not an easy task.
No, and now they have the whole freestyle series, which is huge because there are no,
there's no like contest. No, they did a contest here last year. And, you know, there was, it's so great they have a master's class because there was, my buddy Marty, who's like mid 50s, was riding, and then his son, who was 13, was riding. And it was, nice. I mean, everybody up here was honestly pretty bummed that they didn't come back up here again this year. Everybody was kind of hoping. But no, I know they have a lot going on, but I think three a year, you could maybe start getting caught up. And then if you, with some of the dudes that passed away, like maybe not all of them at once, but maybe each year there's like a special one for, you know, riders that have passed that, you know, should probably be in. And these are just our opinions. Like,
we're spitballing here, but
yeah,
but the next, I agree. And they're just not going to, it is problematic because this is never going to get caught up, you know?
No, I mean, we haven't even got into the 90s riders.
I know.
And then it's insane. Todd and Devin Bank, I honestly don't even know who that is. You said they're really, really early skate park, two brothers that were like 70s skate park guys.
And I'm just recently made aware of them, and I've dealt with Todd a little bit. He sent me some photos for our Greystoke project. And they're super rad dudes, but I think they were just dudes that were riding at the skate park. Like they weren't in I don't even know if they rode in contests, and it's not important if they did or didn't, but that's kind of their thing. Like they weren't in the magazines or anything. They were doing their own thing, and they were brothers documenting each other. And thank God they did, because the photos are so sick.
Yeah.
And it's so cool. They're in the Freestyle Movement book. There's photos from them. Okay.
Yeah.
So, there's that contribution aspect and just the fact that they were there doing it, but I mean,
there were still a lot of other dudes there doing it that we don't even know their names.
Yeah, exactly. So before Jeff Watson, no. Before Fred Becker, no. You know, like, so I don't know.
But yeah. Next one, he's
all due respect to them though.
Yeah, next one's he's one of the first pros, the first pro I ever met. So he's a soft spot for me. And I think, you know, he definitely should be on the list, but Todd Anderson.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, Todd, I feel like should have been bigger than he was, but he never, I mean, he was like he was a pro rider for what, 86 to the early 90s, you know?
For sure.
And kind of an early street guy.
And the first Meet the Street contest, he ruled, dude. He had all kinds of tricks that no one else was doing. And some of it was coaster break, but it was didn't matter.
Because 360 tail tap bar spins, a booba
cup bar spins. Foot plant wall ride.
Yeah.
All kinds of crazy
stuff. He did really good. I mean, you were there the first Meet the Street contest. He killed that contest, too.
But that's what I was talking about. Yeah, he did stuff there that no one else did. And frankly, stuff I've never seen anyone do since.
I mean, I saw him ride at one of the old school jams a few years ago. With his coaster brake,
he
put a show on the mini ramp with the sub box, just all sorts of variations.
Oh, it's wow.
So dialed. You know, booba cup bar spin, and he'd come up and like fakie nose, and like, dude, just so good and dialed, and the nicest, most humble dude.
Yeah. I think that was part of the problem in the day. Is that he was just really quiet. Like, he didn't have much to say. Like, he wasn't selling himself, that's for sure. But, dude, his riding was insane. He was so good, so smooth, so much style. Like, one of my favorite memories, and I think you posted this video, and I was like, wow, that it was such a standout thing. I think it was at the Velodrome contest in probably 86. Like, his time was over, but he did it. Like, a one-footed alley. Alley-oop to channel, one-footed, was the sickest thing ever.
Yeah.
And I always felt like it went unappreciated because it was, I know it was after time and all that, but it was just a thing of pure beauty, just raw power, and just, oh, it's just awesome.
And he rode for iconic teams. I mean, he was the kind of the first Burt dude on Redline.
Yep.
And then after Redline, he rode for General, which is another iconic team.
Before Redline, he rode for SE. He was like one of the first retail dudes on SE.
Yeah, because that first, that Huntington Beach AFA contest, he was on SE then, wasn't he?
Yeah.
So he wrote all
that freestyle. That freestyling cover, jumping the convertible, is him.
Yeah. Yep.
And he's on FCE there.
And then after General, I believe he was there's he went back to SE for a minute. I know he's getting bikes from SE, but he did ride for Supercross for a minute too.
Oh yeah.
Like when Supercross kind of first started, he was like their freestyle guy for a minute.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a trip.
So I mean, Todd, if it was me, I mean, there's dudes I think that would go in before him, but I think Todd should eventually make it in, you know?
I'm looking at the cover, that freestyle cover right now.
Yeah.
And Fred Blood's in there, who we didn't talk about. But, and Perry Kramer's in there, which of course makes sense. But I think Dino is in there. I didn't know, and he's wearing an SE jersey. I didn't know
he wrote for SE and then somebody else before Dino. Not CW. Did he ride? I feel like he rode for I don't think it was GJS, but you know those companies like GJS and stuff, like around 84, just those little random companies.
Yeah. You know,
I feel like he rode for one of those, then SE for a hot minute, and then on Dino. Because he was on that first, you know, like, who was the first dude on Dino? Vanderspeck, probably?
Vanderspeck.
Yeah, he rode for Dino.
He did?
I think he even had a couple early, like in 86. Like, he had a couple of ads. I don't know. I don't know much about Dave. I mean, I guess we didn't talk about Dave being on there, but I think Vanderspeck should be in the Hall of Fame too.
Yeah, how did we not talk about him?
I don't know. I think it was the first three ones. We kind of touched on Pete. We talked about Hugo, but I guess we didn't talk about Vanderspeck. And if people are listening, Dave was kind of like, he's from NorCal. He's part of the Curb Dogs. I think he's more.
He was the Curb Dogs.
Yeah, like he was
the kingpin of all that.
Yeah, it's him and Drob.
Yeah.
And then, he was a really good skateboarder. He kind of, I mean, to be honest, with him coming from the Bay Area, I wonder what BMX skate relations would be like if Vanderspeck didn't pass away, because he was cool with all those skaters.
With everyone. Absolutely. Yeah, because
he ripped at skating. And I honestly wonder what that would have done in the 90s with skate BMX relations. I mean, it sounds silly, but he.
No, I agree.
You can talk to dudes and they skate dudes and they're like, oh, Curb Dogs. Yeah. You know,
absolutely.
They know.
Like in those Nine Club interviews, I've heard several people bring up the Curb Dogs videos as like the first videos the Curb Dogs video as like the first video they ever saw.
And it's a BMX. It was more BMX crew, but they all skated.
Yep, they did. And he was a sponsored skater. I saw him in a flatland contest, like do a surfer with a skateboard in his hand and jump. Like bomb drop onto his board. He raced. I saw him do a 360 in a race to ABA Grand Nationals over doubles.
What?
Like in the back of the pack.
He always had the sickest looking bikes.
Yep.
Any photo of him, he has that really iconic. Is it a BMX action cover or a freestyling cover? I think it's BMX action where it's shot from the top. He's doing like the
track stand. Yeah, it's BMX action. Yeah.
And then he has the one where he's doing the Miami Hopper rate. Into the combi bowl, and that's when he's on Dino.
Yeah, yeah, you're right. Because those Bill Bachelor photos, he's on a Dino.
Yep, too. Yep. And then Dave unfortunately passed away in '89.
Yeah, I think '88, but it doesn't matter.
Was it '88? Okay. But Dave, kind of early street pioneer, early pipeline. He rode the pipeline contest, which was gnarly.
Yep. So gnarly contest promoter. He did one of the first backyard half pipe contests at a skater's ramp, Joe Lopes ramp, which was in Northern California. Also,
whose ramp is it? It's a Joe Lopes.
Joe Lopes. Yeah.
Yep. Yep. Because in like Fiola and a bunch of dudes came out for that. That was the first vert ramp contest.
Yep.
And that was in '85, and then '86 is when the first two hip king of vert was in. Where was the barn contest at?
Le Sueur, Minnesota.
So, yeah. Where everybody was foot planting the rafters, which still seems insane nowadays.
Yeah, that does seem insane. And it was so cold, and all the California dudes didn't have coats and everything. I wasn't there, but everything I hear about that contest seems insane. Because they had to move the ramp. they had to relocate it. That's how it ended up in that crazy barn. Oh, really?
Yeah. I'm having a brain fart here, and I totally know his name. Amazing Tabes and 1 Foot Tabes. The Kuahara guy, he killed it at that contest.
Randy Tishman.
Yeah, Randy Tishman. And, I mean, if some of these dudes are on the list, it's like, well, Randy Tishman's not on the list. And, you know, he did a lot of early shows, and
he was so good. Style. So good, dude. I knew Randy really well. I lived with Randy for a short time.
Oh, wow.
Because Mike Caruth is the BMX Plus guy, and he helped me get that job at BMX Plus. But he's from Chicago. Randy's from Chicago. Yep, Randy's good friends with my friend Jeff Shinglehead.
Yep, yep.
They rode together a lot. And, dude, I saw Randy in person do just the craziest, just beautiful inverts. And, like, it was like, just so good.
Like Justin Inman-style tabletops, but they're actually Randy Tishman tabletops.
Yeah, in 1984. Yeah. Dude, so long ago. In 1983. Like, so long ago.
He had sick style. Like, and you can see awesome footage of him. Honestly, there's, I think in both BMX Plus 101 freestyle tricks, there's some awesome footage.
Yep. He was just a total head case and just couldn't, like, he never did good in contest. Like, he was so good, but he would just fall apart. Like, even at photo sessions, sometimes he would fall apart. Like, just freak out, like, not ride, quit riding. Like, I'm done.
When I think of Kuahara, he's the dude that always comes to my head because the bikes look sick. His style was sick.
Yeah.
I actually wanted a Kuahara for my first bike because I thought he was sick, but the bike was too expensive. But he's one of those black splattered ones with the yellow and
those were rad. Yep. He had the perm mullet. Like, dude, he was rad.
That sounds very Chicago.
he was such a Chicago dude. He had the accent.
So was he kind of the precursor to the Bob Coles and all them? So I mean, Chicago has a super rich history. So
yeah, it does.
I guess now, so that's the old school. Now this is the new school. And I feel like there's a whole piece missing. I mean, here in the middle, like, I'm just going to go over who I think should be on this thing and there's plenty more before we get in the next list. I think it's weird. Like, James Shepherd isn't on here. Brian Castillo, Rooftop.
Right.
Am I missing Taj? Is Taj on there?
Taj is on here, but he's on this list right now.
Okay, he is. But, like, Brian Castillo, like, Jiminy Christmas, Rooftop?
You know?
And honestly, James Shepherd and Dave Perrick, I mean, James Shepherd, I mean, after Eddie Roman, James Shepherd really laid modern street riding out before it was modern street riding. I mean, like, manual to grinds, nose manual to grinds, super sick style, like, linking stuff up, amazing ramp rider, you know, amazing flatlander. So, I mean, there's this whole little middle piece here that I'm like, that's weird. And I know it's because of the public nomination. And, you know, that's where I'm like kind of conflicted, which part of the public nomination thing, I'm like, that's cool. But at the same time, I think being on the board, there is a certain point of responsibility.
There is a certain responsibility, exactly. Like,
that you should bear, because I really feel, you know, and we're not even getting, and I know that, you know, they have Jamie Bestwick and other stuff, and Jay Miron's on this, but we're not even getting into the influence of, like, you know, Great Britain, writers from Great Britain, Germany, you know, writers from all over the world that, you know, that have influenced so much. I mean, I know growing up, I kind of wished I lived in England because the scene seemed amazing when I saw it in magazines.
Right.
I think it was.
Yeah. Craig Campbell.
Craig Campbell's not on this. Craig Grosso's not on this list.
Right. Neil Ruffle. Those dudes.
Is the Ruffles? No. I mean, yeah.
Andy might be on here somewhere, but
yeah, like, Jerry Galley's not there, right. You know, like, Zach Shaw. I mean, dudes that have, Zach Shaw, first person to do a 360 flip. I mean, 360 back.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that. That's rad.
You know, and so there is, I think, a responsibility either than the public nominations to, you know, take it seriously and know your history and some other names.
Yeah, absolutely. It is missing, like there's a gap here that's
the dead. There's a gap of the, well, I feel like not, necessarily, but like the 91 to like 96 is like there's a big gap missing.
Yeah.
You know, and we're not even looking at dudes like, you know, it's kind of missing like, it's weird when you get into freestyle, you're like, because there's a lot of early, there's a lot of like 90s trail dudes that aren't on here.
Right. People, you know, just don't, yeah, like Christopher should be on here.
Christopher, Brown Chuck. I mean,
Brown Chuck.
His influence is gnarly. You know, Sean Butler, when Butler first came out, yep. DMX Inferno dropped, everybody I knew wanted to ride like Sean Butler.
Right.
You know,
and there isn't, yeah, that's where, like, I mean, Stephen Murray's on here and he's a dirt jumper, but like, dirt jumper, like,
how he's a badass, you know, and he's a badass racer too.
Yes, I know. And, but Stephen Murray's on the same page with Chase Gwynn, you know, like that.
Yeah, I know it, and I know it's hard on their end, and
it
and
is.
I just feel like there needs to be more people brought in, and some people might say, "Well, it's the Hall of Fame; there should be less." And it's like,
yeah,
it's got to be
prestigious. But
you look at other Hall of Fames, like basketball. I think they nominate. There's like 15. I could be wrong, but like 15 nominations, and they bring in like 5 a year or something.
Yeah,
you know. So, but
I wouldn't know about basketball, but I know you do. And yeah, I know. And it's like every Hall of Fame is like this, I'm sure. I know the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame every year. People are protesting. People are pissed. People don't care. Yeah. Everyone cares.
But you know what?
They don't care because they do care. And we it don't makes care.
It fun.
Right. That's why we care. That's why we've been talking about it for 2 hours now, because we don't care about this.
Yeah. Well, let's get through this list. I mean, this one will be a little easier than all the deep cuts because I think more people will be familiar. Jay Miron, hands down. Should be in.
No,
I mean,
no question.
That's industry writer, everything. Like I mean, Kevin Robinson. Kevin should be in. Like I said, I think some of the dudes that have passed on should just be. It shouldn't even be on the list. They should just put him in.
He should be automatic. But he should be. If he were still alive, he should be in there. Like he's legendary. Like he.
He pushed things
like so the double hard. Flare. He pushed so hard, and like I wasn't always necessarily a huge fan of like his style or whatever, but like his contributions were huge. Well, like, and if
you talked to Kevin about BMX, because I worked with him at Woodward for a few years. He was so passionate about freestyle. Like he was so passionate, and you could tell this dude was ready just to put it on the line because he loved it so much, and that definitely came through. I mean. Yeah, Kevin wasn't like always ripping the best style or this. I don't think he worried about that. He was writing what was pure and true to him. And as another freestyler, I all I can do is respect that, you know?
Yeah, 100%. And
he did some of the hard, like switch-handed one-footed 540s.
Yeah, forget like, about it. The double flare, that's like do or die shit too, you know?
So he definitely should be on.
Had that skate park that, you know,
yeah, he had his own skate park forever. Did a lot of stuff at Woodward.
Yep.
So, Corey Nastasio. I mean, Corey definitely should be on. Some of the dudes like Corey, like I think Corey's still like in my head. I'm like, dude's still a gnarly pro. Like where like this. This is not ever even a dig because Corey should fully be in. But maybe just wait till like his career is kind of winded down to give room for other dudes. That's
right.
You know, that's what I'm thinking on some of the dudes. Like when Dennis went in, I'm like, well, Dennis is still pro. Like, why?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, it's like, but Corey, I mean, Corey had such a such a crazy rise when he came out. Everybody wanted to be Corey, you know?
Right.
And I don't, you know, he's got so much style and flash. I mean, there's not very many riders that can ride like him and still present himself the way he did, you know, with just so much energy.
Right. And for such a long run too, you know?
Yeah, 90.
And dirt jumping is no joke. Like he's not taking anything away from Flatland, but you can ride Flatland when you're 45 and get away with it. But he's still high stakes.
Corey's 46, 45, and still will ride gnarliest trails in the world.
And yep, absolutely.
And love it.
Yep.
Next is Alan Cook. Alan's a great bike rider. I don't know if, I mean, it sucks saying, I know Allen did stuff with the industry and stuff, but it's like, Allen didn't win tons of contests. I mean, he did win some, I guess, but it's just hard when you're like, okay, Allen Cook, or, you know, let's compare him to some, you know, like you got Colin Winkleman, you know, you're like, so
Colin's no brainer. I mean, there's a few. Taj, Allen Cook, Taj, come on, like,
yeah, no, and not hating on Allen Cook. Allen Cook, dude,
no,
Allen,
not at all.
Allen ripped when he came out. Like, he definitely, I remember, shook up the contest scene a little, and he came out of nowhere, you know.
Sure,
but you know, it's just like, I'm not mad that he's on the list. I do feel like there's dudes that have been around longer that should be in front of him, you know.
Yeah.
Bill Nitschke, I think
people are gonna hate us for this conversation.
they might.
There's no getting around some of this.
Yeah, and I'm not. I mean, like, literally, I'm not trying to hate on him. We're just trying to have. I mean, there's a Hall of Fame. People can have a conversation about it. It's not. Yep.
That's all we're doing.
Bill Nitschke, I think Bill should be in. I think there's dudes that should be in before him, but he invented the bunny hop tail whip.
Yeah.
He
still killing it. Still going strong.
I might be putting it all in line here. He might have invented like the modern peg, because he had Pulse products before standard pegs, and they were like the early bolt-on pegs. And I'm pretty sure that Kevin Jones freestyling cover, if you look at his bike, it's all old school looking, but he has 4-inch long Pulse pegs on it.
Really?
Yeah. So, Bill Nitschke's definitely given a lot, and he still does shows and still rips.
I just shot photos of him in last month.
Yeah, he's still amazing. Chad DeGroote, I mean, that's a no-brainer. I mean, Chad's probably one of the best well-rounded bike riders ever.
Yeah, for sure.
And he did so much with Flatland. He has his own company, has his own shop. But when if people didn't ride back in the early 90s, when Chad came out, he just had his own style and flair and everything, and he was so exciting to watch. And rolling with the whole Baco crew and everything then. I mean,
he could do it all. Like, he could run ramps, Flatland, and he had the skate park. He's got shop.
He had a great personality, and they used the early videos to bring that through. So Chad definitely should be in. I'd say Chase Gawin should be in before Chad, because he was around for him. And
Chase was so influential too.
He what?
Chase was so influential to other, you know, like, he was like cult leader almost. I'm looking at the Kevin Jones cover. You're right, man. Those pegs are crazy. They're like modern pegs.
If you think about the time, he's got big pegs on right there.
Yep. 1989 cover, so it's from early 89.
Chase Gwynn should be in. I mean, Kevin Jones is in, and I'd say right after Kevin Jones. Kevin Jones is 1A. Chase Gwynn's 1B, you know, like,
right, absolutely.
And Chase's Flatland career went well into the, you know, up to the early 2000s with really gnarly brakeless riding.
Yeah.
Like, he didn't stop progressing, and he kept putting stuff out. So I think Chase should be in. Chris Young, Flatlander. Chris, I just don't know a ton about Flatland, but I know Chris, I think he's an early standard guy.
I don't know anything about him.
Yeah,
he's the one person on here I don't know.
Yeah, gnarly Flatlander. I honestly am. I know about Flatland, but I don't know enough to really throw my hat into that ring. But I know Chris Young is a gnarly Flatland dude, and I'd like to hear more about you know, what the other Flatlanders think he should be in. But I know he was a, and I think he still rides, but gnarly rider. Colin McKay. I think Colin had a really good pro career, and now is industry too, you know?
Yeah.
And I think with both of those, I mean, a lot of these, you're like, oh, this person's in, this person's in. And I think these lists are pretty good. I think they're just missing people, and we're just trying to talk about the riders, you know,
like,
but
Colin, I feel like Colin should be in later. You know what I mean? Like,
no,
like, he's not there yet. Like,
no,
he's,
yeah, I think
he hasn't even been a retired. He didn't retire from pro competition that long ago. I mean, it's, I know it's been a few years, but like, and I'm old, but to me, he's like, I'm not saying he hasn't earned it yet, but I'm just saying he still has so much more to offer.
Oh yeah. Yeah. He still rips
so much more to come that if he goes in 10 years from now, it won't be overdue really. You know what I mean? That's all I mean. I'm not saying he hasn't earned it or anything like that. He 100% has. But I just feel like there's other people in line in front of him.
No, and I think that's the thing with a lot of these. Like, and that's the same with, like, Allen. Like, I'm like, it just feels really – because Allen is kind of in that same generation.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, Colin, he's the TM of Vans now. And with all this stuff, I mean, I think he should be in one day.
For sure.
And we've talked about Colin Winkelman, but Colin Winkelman's a no-brainer.
Just no-brainer.
It's just, I mean, and I don't think people, even when he's on DK, people don't realize the excitement he brought to freestyle before he was even a sponsor rider, when he was just like FBM t-shirt guy, you know, like double flips on a 4 foot tall box jump and stuff.
Right.
You know, like, but Colin is a no brainer to me. I mean, there's not, you could put everything he's done on paper and it would blow the doors off it. He should be in right now.
Oh yeah. Or just, man, like I saw that dude at the contest and I didn't see him ride in person that many times, but just like the gnarliest crasher, just like, oh my God, dude. And he's just like, haha, like laughs it off and like goes for it again. Hangs up. Like, I remember the one in particular was at the Flow, like this huge wall ride and like case front wheel and like worst case scenario, you know? And he's like,
Well,
that didn't go up that well, you know, just like he just, his sense of humor, he's so funny and like just such a rad dude too. Like, and to your point, like he's gone, you know, like we can't, if we wait too long, the people that he's in our hearts, like won't be active in this.
Yeah. I think that is a good point. Like some of these riders that have passed, the people that are around them, some of these people like Jeff Watson or some of the early, there's not going to be people around to appreciate them getting in or their family knowing, you know, like, so I do think that is important. Granted, I have no say in it at all, but I do think that is important.
We got something to say about it though, don't we?
Well, you know, I'm a kook. I love BMX. Like I like talking about it. Joey Garcia. I think Joey should be in. I mean, Joey's like one of those riders that has like this crazy cult following and still does.
Yeah, right. He does.
His, you know, him from like when he kind of came on the scene around 93, 94, he was gone pretty early. He could have been pro for a lot longer. I think right after that second UGP video around like 2000, 99.
Yeah.
I think, and Joey still rode. Like I've rode with Joey. He'd hang out with the solid dudes. He still rides, but I think he just was that dude that's like, okay, time to get into school or whatever Joey went on to do.
Yeah. You know?
But
yeah, I think that's the issue with a lot of, it's kind of Josh White syndrome, you know, like he's just kind of, you didn't see him anymore. So out of sight, out of mind, even no matter what level he was riding at or whether he was riding or not, it's kind of, you just didn't know.
He was so ahead of everybody else on riding trails, you know, and just dirt. His style was so good. I mean,
good style,
the only real video part, there's that second UGP video, which that video part, I think they flew him out to Florida. He filmed it in a couple days. It's okay. The Schwinn American Muscle part's really good, but I still don't think it captures how good he was at the time. You know, like,
well, and videos during that time kind of didn't for the most part.
Yeah, I mean, you kind of got to pick through some props, you know, to find stuff of him, but I mean, the dude left such a heavy influence for only being pro and, you know, in the scene for such a short amount of time when you really think about it, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
But yeah, Joey's, God, he's awesome. Koji Kraft. Is Koji from Chicago?
Another Chicago dude, yeah.
Vert guys. I think Koji's kind of one of those dudes that, Koji's awesome, but I think he's on here too early.
Yeah, exactly. He's still an active show rider and all that.
And too. I think he can still enter pro vert contests and do well.
Right. Like, for sure.
But I mean, I remember when Koji dropped, he showed up, he was like a little mini Jay Miron, like on Schwinn, and just people were like, what the heck is up with this dude? He was so crazy. And he definitely has a style of his own. But I think Koji, you know, 10 years down the line, I just think Koji's on the list too early.
Yes, it's a little early, right?
You know,
I saw him in 97. He was like a little kid at the at Scrap, at a contest I went to, and like little glasses. Koji is kind of
because
he's big gnarly dude.
And he was crazy good.
Oh yeah.
So Mark Eaton, I mean,
hands down.
Mark Eaton, one of the plywood hoods, amazing flatlander. I mean, he could ride everything. He did well at Meet the Street contests. Yeah. And he basically paved the way for BMX videos.
Absolutely. The Dorkin and York, come on. Like, they premiered it in the hotel room at Austin AFA contest, and I was there. And I'm not even a flatland guy, and it wasn't all flatland, but like that, my life changed that day. It's just like, holy shit, dude, what did I just see? Like, this is the best thing ever. And it set the precedent for everything. And for every other video.
He's one of those dudes that could go in for industry riding. I mean, dude, I posted up that Palm Springs Meet the Street contest. He's on Blyther's yellow GT. There's this clip. I tagged him in on Instagram. He hits the street spine, and those were brand new at the time. You remember street spines?
Yeah, like,
But he alley-oop 360s off of it to the side, and he just disappears in the crowd. But you see how far and high he goes. It's insane. Like, I'm like, where did you go? He's like, I just landed over there flat and just rode away. But if you watch the clip, it's insane how far he flies on a borrowed bike.
Of course.
But,
Mark Eaton, Joe Kidd on a Stingray. I know he had a partner in that, but please.
I think Mark Eaton should be in today. Like, today. Yes. You know, like.
Yeah, right.
No ifs, ands, and buts. You know, like, you're like, you know, this dude maybe down the line. But Mark Eaton right now should be in. You know, another dude with the old school, it's kind of weird. Mark Eaton's in that new school side.
Yeah.
But the old school, like, you know, like Gary Pollack, Dino DeLuca, both those dudes to me, when I watch their riding between like 89 and 91, it looks like you're watching bike riders in 96, 97.
Yeah. Because of
the way they use their pegs and did road street spot. Cause they could do like, All these tech tricks on a street spine, tail up nose picks, 360 sprocket over. They were doing sub box tricks, and they were both gnarly vert riders. But both of their bike riding, when you go back and watch it, if you said it was 1996 and they were riding, you'd be like, totally fit in. And I feel like both those dudes don't get enough, you know, respect for bringing in. I feel like they helped roll in the 90s. I think Matt was so good then, he overclouded everybody. But I feel like those two dudes and, you know, maybe a few other dudes really helped roll in the 90s.
It was kind of the dark years, too, which is part of it. Like, if you weren't in BMX and paying close attention, and quite honestly, I really wasn't at that point. Like, you maybe
that's my favorite era.
Yeah, I know it is. That's why you and I are good together, because you kind of cover that era that I don't know as much about. But it's just a few years for me that I don't know about, to be honest.
Matt Berenger's next.
Yeah.
I think Matt should be in. I don't think it's weird that he's on the list. I don't think it's one of those dudes that's like where you're like too early. I think Matt, when he was pro, he definitely had his own style. He definitely had a heavy influence. This is where you're starting to get to the level where dudes had iconic video parts.
Right.
And Matt had really good video parts. He was in the props Road Fools, which was a very big deal at the time.
And he was fun guy, the funny guy, the wild guy.
But... And he helped carry that Salt Lake scene, which was a monster of a scene for so, and not that there's not gnarly dudes there, but dude, that scene, him and like Elf and all those dudes.
Yeah.
And, you know, but Berenger was like, if you look at that scene, to me, it felt like Berenger was like the backbone. He had the ramp,
for sure. House,
you know, that scene would not have been what it was without Berenger. And I don't think S&M would have been what it was at that time without Berenger.
Right. Right. No, I know. He helped it diversify. He helped get it out of Orange County, you know, like because it was so SoCal-centric.
Yeah. He was like that. Yeah, one of those dudes that you're like, you didn't think S&M was a dude riding sheep or something.
Right. Exactly.
You know, I think Matt should definitely be in. I think dude should go in before him, but him being on the list is, fine. You know, it's fine. Next is Mike Spinner.
It's fine.
I don't mean it like I.
We both said the same thing. It's fine. Like
I, but I love Behringer.
I love Matt Behringer so much. But
yes, I mean, but no, him being on the list, I just, you know, there's dudes like you're like, well, Taj should be in first. You know, like
Taj before Matt Behringer and Mark Eaton, and like I'm comparing. I'm like, Mark Eaton is on this list, and Steve Swope is on this list. Like what?
It's. And that's where I'm like, where's the line cut off for the year? And then I'm not even going to look at the industry thing because I think there's probably no freestyle dudes. But I'd like to see more freestyle dudes on the industry thing because as much as I like racing, I love racing. I love all BMX. But the BMX industry would have completely collapsed in on itself if it wasn't for freestyle carrying it.
Oh, right.
I know some dudes might argue with me on that. But it's true. You know,
but it's true. It's 100% true.
And I'd like to see more industry BMX dudes. Cause I mean, if you're talking industry, Crandall should be in, you know,
right.
You know, I mean, there's so many dudes. I'm sure, I don't know if Brian Skura is in, but Brian Skura should be in, you know, like,
well, you know, like Charlie Danishek, who founded DK, isn't in yet. He's on it every year. He's like the Jeff Watson of the industry thing. I'm like, how is he not in there? Like
dad and kids, get him in.
He started DK in 1979 and DK is still around. Like,
yeah,
come on. And he started at Christmas Classic. He was instrumental in that whole series starting. That was a tradition for like 15 years or whatever that went on that race, you know? Like,
no, I remember that race was a big deal.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And this is the thing. I'm not on the other end of it having to deal with all the politics and the categories. And
yeah, you know, and that comes down to voting because he's a nominee. Like, he's on the list every year. So,
yeah. I mean, I'm a freestyle guy, and I totally know, you know, DK's had such a big influence in all of BMX, freestyle racing, events, the dirt circuits.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know?
And that maybe was Bill by that point, but either way, it's Charlie's legacy, you know?
Anyway,
Mike Spinner.
I think it's too soon. I think it's too soon. This is where you just feel it's like I'm not trying to shit on anybody, but it's just like it's just like Mike really wasn't pro for very long. I mean,
no, it's short.
He had his Mike is super nice. I mean, look at me already like backtracking up. Mike's so nice. I think I was one of the first people to film him for props. Dude, he seems like a sweetheart of a human. His career was very short. I mean, he definitely had his niche, like. And I don't understand how his last name's Spinner and his style is.
Yeah, that's insane that his name is Spinner. But,
I think it's too, I think just Mike's too early. And I don't know. I just weigh him next to other dudes.
Yeah. Super influential. Like he brought a lot to the table, you know, with like the tricks and the spinning, his ability to spin. But he did more than that. I know he did.
Yeah.
But dude, he just came and went so fast.
It was just like Spinner. I mean, it's like Nike 6.0, hot dogs, Hyper. Was he on Hyper?
Hyper. Yeah.
I don't know. I mean,
we're just not there yet, Mike. We're just not there yet. so this next
here's a bit of skate trivia. When you said that, you know what video you reminded me of? GNS footage. Not quite there yet. Skulls aren't going
to
do
1989, boys. Time to lose the skeletons. Yep.
If anybody gets that, that's awesome.
I get it. Well, I got it for sure.
One of my favorites.
So Nike kind of goes back to he's still active. Like, he's still such an active rider. Like,
Nyquist is a shoe-in.
Of course, he deserves
but
a
shoe-in.
Absolutely.
I don't think he should be a... You know, I don't think he should be on the list yet because he's still an active pro.
Right.
Still, his career is not done. We haven't It does have to be done, but it's not even like it's barely tapered. It's like
here's it's peak, not even winding down.
Yeah. Here's Peak Ryan, and now he's doing stuff with, the Olympic team. He's got so much more stuff to write. I just push Ryan to the side because there's so many more dudes that need to come in. You know.
Yeah, he's on the list. He stay on the list.
He's a shoe-in. Like,
yeah,
sure,
no question.
He's the second coming of Dennis McCoy with how much longevity he has, but it's just he's still too active. Next is Scotty Kramer. I think Scotty should be in, but I think it's still too early.
Yeah, exactly.
And I think Scotty still with his video and stuff is kind of still contributing stuff.
And that's part of his story and part of why he deserves to be in. But it's just too early.
It's just too early. Like Simon Tabron. So we're talking about, UK vert dudes, and Simon definitely should be in, but there's so many more dudes from across the pond that should be in, but I mean, Simon, I love Simon. I mean,
there's no bigger Simon.
I'm such like when you know Simon and you ride with Simon, like you become, he's just so pure with his writing to me, and he's done so much.
So much and been through so much and like does that put you in the Hall of Fame? I don't know, but
I think still his contest stuff and his influence overseas and here.
Yes.
And Simon would ride the rawest contest. He'd ride the most annoying, probably crazy X Games contest. He's been through everything. Some of my favorite footage of Tabron is when Crandall and them threw that quarter pipe contest and Simon showed up with it.
Yeah.
And he just like, it was just all these dudes. And then Simon was there just shooting with them and did a 900 on that thing.
I forgot about that. That was so rad.
It's awesome. I think Simon should be in. I mean, maybe there's a few dudes that should be in front of him, but he's definitely.
Yeah. But he's kind of in the middle of the other dudes that we're talking about.
Is Matt Hoffman in the Hall of Fame?
He's got to be. I didn't find it, but he's got to be.
I just thought of that. I was like, is Matt in?
He has to be.
Stephen Murray, I think with Stephen's story and everything, he definitely should be in. Stephen, amazing racer. Stephen's weird. Like, he's such a good racer, such a good dirt jumper. I mean, he could ride skate parks and stuff. And then, if you follow racing, Stay Strong is such a big deal. I think his sister is kind of running it. But, industry, racing, freestyle, I think Steven should be in. It might still be a little early to me, though,
Yeah, I agree. I don't think Matt Hoffman is in the Hall of Fame. He's in the Oklahoma BMX Hall of Fame or Oklahoma Sports Hall of Fame, which I'm sure is a big deal. But
he's not in the Hall of Fame?
How could he not be in the Hall of Fame?
I'm so pissed right now. I'm so pissed. All right, if he's not in the Hall of Fame, we got to really.
He's got to be, dude.
He has to be. I don't.
I don't know, man. And according to his Wikipedia page.
That's crazy. I'm sure after this comes out, we'll find out if he's in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, we're gonna hear all about it.
No, we're probably going to hear from people. I'm just expecting it. Nothing about this guy's is to be ill-intentioned or be a dick. So just to know, it's just a conversation. Me and Scott are going to be like public enemy number one after this. I hope not. I'm
going to be blackballed from everything.
Yeah, I'm going to go race. USA BMX is going to pull my membership. I won't be allowed at the track this summer. then my gates will never get good. Next is Taj. I think through this whole thing we've talked, brought Taj in.
Yeah.
Taj should be in right now.
Yeah, of course. Taj, he's on the list with Mark Eaton and the guys at the top of this. Like he's just absolutely question.
It's weird Joe Rich isn't on this list.
Right.
I know it's because the public thing and Joe's not around people that are gonna do that. Right. But even like Lucky or dudes like that, like how's Robbie Morales not on this list?
Right. Absolutely.
even is Neil Wooden on the race side? I mean, Neil could be race, dirt jump.
I doubt it, but he could be, right? And industry, right?
Yeah, I know Dale Holmes and those guys have the British Hall of Fame, and I would think if he's not in right now, he'd be in pretty soon on that, you know?
Yeah.
But, yeah, Taj, yeah. Dude, one of my favorite bike riders. Iconic video parts, helped start one of the most cult, I mean, you have cult, but, you know, just one of the most sought after brands, you know,
and
he went on to do industry stuff. Anything Taj does, people looked at it with a microscope and they loved every bit of it, you know, like,
right. Well, and even before T1, like his contributions to the Hoffman brand, like, because Hoffman was like a vert brand, and then here's Taj. I know it really wasn't a vert brand, but it's hard to not be vert centric with Matt and Steve Swope and everything, and Jay Miron. And then you have Taj with that first
part, like, when you watch Mad Matt, his part stood out and it was so fun.
And his frame was like the first kind of one of the early kind of all terrain frames that wasn't like an S&M dirt bike, you know, but it was more of a freestyle bike, but really designed to do it all.
Yeah, when the Taj frame first came out, my buddy Bristol got one. Dude, I could have stared at that thing all day long. It was beautiful.
Right.
It was awesome. Taj should be in right now.
Trevor Meyer.
I think Trevor should be in. He's been around for so long doing so much stuff. I'm sure there's going to be some Flatland dudes that you want to bring up the stuff with Chase back in the day. But I mean, I just think Trevor's given so much to BMX, won tons of contests, so gnarly still, and just loves riding his bike.
Yeah.
So, and then we got Will Smith from Dig.
Yeah.
And people don't know, Will was pretty, you know, early King of Dirt, you know, contest dude, did well in those, invented the
organized NAC. First King of Dirt in the UK or in Ireland.
And then he rode the first King of Dirt here too, right?
Yep, at Bartlett's.
Yeah.
Yep. He had that company Dive, like, and he was a super good jumper. Like, he's on the cover of BMX Action. Like, and he's a, for being awesome such a public. Videos. Yeah, for being such a public guy, like, he's so modest and kind of humble too, you know, that.
And I don't think people give him enough credit. Dig Magazine and Dig, like, media has been around since 1992, and they're still going. They've lasted longer than any other magazine out there.
Yeah.
And he's the one that's been running it the whole time. You know, it's like, if he didn't make it in on his bike riding skills, he should be, like, right now in there for industry, because that magazine's influenced more people than anybody on that industry list. Not even trying to take away from what other people have done on that.
No.
That magazine has done so much. And I know
it's on a magazine on their podcast
channel right now, but I'm not trying, you know, like.
Yeah, right. I mean, I'm on his payroll, but, like, he just does so much and still does. And just kind of quietly, like, Dig comes out every year. Like, there's no, you know, Ride's been gone since 2017, BMX Plus since 2019 or whatever.
BMX Plus since 1993.
We had a good run, but, you know, like, Dig is going strong since 93. Like, in various incarnations, and different people have come and gone, but Will has always been right there and contributes so much to this day, and was part of so much other stuff that people don't even know about.
Yeah, Nike, like, stuff, all the Nike contests,
all the Nike stuff in the UK especially, but, like, even worldwide, you know, like, he's, like, behind it all, you know, like, just design wise and
if you think about, like, him, think about him and Moeller when they're, like, 19, 18 riding together.
Yeah. And
think about how much influence both of those dudes have. Is Moeller in the Hall of Fame?
Yeah. I don't know when he went in, but he 100% is.
Okay. I was going to say, I didn't know, you know, because Moeller's always rattled cages. I was like, if he's not in, like, come on, you know.
He's suspended from the USA BMX for life, but he's in the Hall of Fame.
Is he? He's not suspended. Okay.
No, he's not.
I could see Chris almost, like, having, like, you know, getting, like, 59 and being like, I'm going to hit the race circuit.
You know? Oh, totally.
Dude, you know who? I was just at a national this weekend. Harry Leary, that dude.
Oh, yeah.
He's 63, 64.
Yep. Yeah.
He's so fast.
I know. It's insane.
Pete Longkarevich is still very fast, too, but he's not.
Well,
Harry
Leary. Pete just started racing again recently. I know he's come back a few times, but Harry.
I don't think he's ever stopped. Really?
Eric Rupp has never stopped. I don't think Harry has either.
And Harry runs a track and everything. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. What an icon. Yeah, that's the list. I'm looking on the snakebite thing. Just like comments, Bar Spinner put down, you know, Nasty and Nyquist, Brett Downs, said Hugo should be in, and he says it feels wrong that Jay Miron's not already in.
Yeah, I agree with that.
A few people said Butler.
Yep.
Kurt Schmidt, man, Kurt Schmidt, what a dude that dude is so influential. I mean, he rode a coaster brake, but the backward riding, he's the king, the OG king of, I mean, other than Eddie Roman, he's the next dude in backward riding. I mean,
just untouchable, like the shit over spines backward and
the stuff he did in 93 would destroy fools nowadays,
right?
I mean, I know there's gnarly mini ramp dudes in the Midwest and stuff that will blow my mind that no one even knows about, but Kurt Schmidt should fully be in. That comment was from John Wold, who used to ride with Kurt, and they were standard teammates together.
Yeah, I know John.
Yeah, Carlo Griggs.
Yeah.
That's just another one of the UK dudes.
That one picture alone should be him. And there's a lot of pictures like that of him.
Carlo Griggs is like the Matt Hoffman of England. You know, like, I mean, but just the dudes that were young that came out and just blew doors.
And he's an industry guy, too. I mean, he has.
Yeah, he's ran proper and that I don't know his distro is, but, you know.
Yep.
And he's always had ramps and stuff and, you know, put into the scene, you know.
Yeah.
My buddy Curtis said Asado and Andrew Ferris, and I think they should both be, you know, at least nominated.
Right.
Asado. I'm looking. Josh White, you know, like, these are just little conversations people are having. Joe Rich came up a bunch, and I totally agree with that one.
I do, too. I feel like Joe Rich is because he just, like, quietly does his thing, like,
yeah.
Who's going to nominate? Someone's got to nominate him, as we've learned. So, you know, well, maybe nominate we'll do people. It. Maybe I'll do it.
Go to the USA BMX site. What are the nomination times? It's like in the fall or something, or summer?
I don't know.
I'll post it up.
It just was not that long ago, right?
Like, yeah, I'll figure more out and post it up on the Instagram. Here's two that I said earlier. I think Bruce Crispin should be on the list. I know I might be biased because he's a buddy of mine, but dude was the first dude to beat Dave Mira at the X Games, won the X Games.
Right.
Quit writing contests and, you know, him and Andy and Schwartz and Ian, you could say maybe be on the list, but it might be a little too early. And Bruce, it could still be a little too early, but, I think Bruce with the contest winning stuff and what he brought to street riding, definitely should be on that list. And I had Keith Trainer too.
Oh yeah.
And because I if you grew up in the 90s, Keith Trainer was such a heavy influence.
Absolutely. Yeah, I know. It's tough, man. Like
it's super hot.
Oh, Matt Hoffman, 2012.
Okay, Matt's in there.
Same year he had to be, right? Like we're losing our minds if he's not.
Somebody wrote down Tony Murray, Rob Nolly. You know, Tony could Rob be in there with the Ted Emmers and all them, you know, maybe a little more. He got a little more coverage. He was on the Haro team, but Tony definitely had an influence. And Rob Nolly, Rob's one of those dudes too that's just quiet, but damn, dude, he's been good for so long.
Right. He's kind of like Bill Nitschke's kind of same category, you know. Yeah. I know he's not a flatland guy, but like, it's all the above guy, but it's just so rad.
Here's another one somebody brought up, which. His influence, Vic Murphy.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's I mean, you want to talk about influence on BMX. I mean, Vic didn't do much, but he had the heaviest, like, didn't do much, like, in, like, he just let his style do the talking, and it just.
Let's start our own Hall of Fame, Chad. Like, I don't want to be in charge of this. What a mess.
Someone brought up Flip from Albies, and I think with Albies, Flip should be in on industry.
Dude, and
Flip's an amazing bike rider.
Such a good rider still. He doesn't even ride that much anymore, and he's still so fucking good. Yeah. Like,
he's awesome. That's kind of it for the comments. Oh, somebody put down Dave Smith. You know, and I think we're missing a lot with Flatland on here. And I always feel bad because I know Flatland kind of, that's how it happens. But Dave Smith, I mean, when Dave was hitting hard there in the early to mid 90s, I mean, he probably has crazier parts. I know he has a bunch of parts, but that Mad Matt part that Mark Eaton put together with the music and the vibe and just how good he was at the time. Yeah, I mean, Dave Smith, I don't think it'd be weird if he was on the list, but.
No, I think he's one of those dudes. I wrote about him for the influential writers of color piece.
Yeah.
3 years ago, and it was so hard to find info about him or photos or anything other than like we know about
that. He just kind of disappeared too.
Kind of disappeared. Yeah,
I'm sure some of the dudes listening to Ride Flat, you know, that I'm sure he talks to. You know, I'm sure if, you know, like a Chad Johnston or somebody's like, oh, I know where Dave's at, you know, like, you know, dudes that are in the link, maybe Chad does it. I'm not trying to throw Chad under the bus. I mean, if you talk about Flatland, you're like, oh, Chad Johnston, you know,
reality.
And you think about, he made early videos, reality TV and all that. Yep. And
Headless guy, like, so, but then like, I'll single him out because it's so hard. You're like comparing like Chad Johnston to like
Mark
Jeff Eaton. Watson, Mark Eaton.
Yeah.
Okay. Mark Eaton. Well, he's more of the Mark Eaton era, kind of. Mark Eaton is misplaced, I think. He should be, I don't know. It's hard, man.
I do feel like there's a weird little line there in the middle that's just so gray on those categories. Yeah. And like I'm saying, this is by no means, I'm not trying to shit on anybody at USA. This is a hard thing to do, and it's just a neat conversation to have, and we're both BMX nerds and want to talk about it,
and we want to, and the more we talk about it, the harder we're seeing that it really is, right? Like, it's how so impossible hard. It is. It's like just such a conundrum across the board.
But I want more people to know about the Hall of Fame, and to, you know, because USA BMX has a Hall of Fame. You can go in there and see lots of history items. If you're in Oklahoma, where is it at in Oklahoma? It's in
Tulsa.
Dude, they have an amazing track there. I would think they were going to have a skate park one day.
You would think, yeah.
Yeah, but they have such awesome stuff in there. If you're in Tulsa, go down there, go to the Hall of Fame, and just pull in some history. It looks awesome. It's definitely on my list to go see.
Yeah, me too.
You know, and I know they're getting more and more stuff. I mean, the Hall of Fame, the physical one to go in, it's only been open for like 2 years.
Yeah, it's open last year.
Yeah, so if you're down there, go. This is not an easy thing to do. If you see everything they put together, it's awesome. And I know everybody there does work hard for all this. And
we're confirming that.
Is this ever meant to be a negative thing? We just wanted to bring more attention to it. So each year people can be excited about it, you know? Like, absolutely. I want to be excited about it. I kind of feel like it still needs tweaked a little. Like, maybe three in each category.
Yeah.
You know, maybe people can do the public voting, but maybe they should have some people, you know, a group of like people that go, no, these dudes need to be in two. We're missing something, you know, like.
Yeah. Right. I agree. It should be kind of a hybrid of the nomination selection.
Yeah. And I would like to see a little more, and it might be the public nominations. That's why it's never really gotten looked at. So I'm not trying to throw blame on anybody, but I think there needs to be a lot more presence of, freestyle in industry, you know. And when I say freestyle, dirt jumping, and you know, just the aspect of doing tricks on a BMX bike, you know.
Ronnie Bonner,
dude,
you know,
yeah, Ron, you know,
he started making number plates, but
yeah, there's so many industry dudes that should be in there, you know.
Is Ronnie Bonner in it? He might be. He should be if he's not.
Yeah, I mean, Ron's done a ton of stuff,
and we can go on and on. That's for sure.
That's the same with like Robbie. I mean, Robbie's done a ton of stuff. You know, how about Marco and Chris and Stu and everybody at props.
Yeah, I mean, Stu Johnson. Holy shit.
Props, you know, I might be biased because I worked for him, but that was props. Their media thing had a heavier influence than Ride or anything at the time.
100%. When I was out of BMX for a few years, when I got back in 97, and keep in mind, I was 30 plus years old at the time, and I saw Road Fools. Dude, I was like, what the fuck? Why was I not riding? Like, what am I doing with my life? It just, and I knew I didn't, but it was so relatable, even though I couldn't, I knew I wasn't going to ride at that level ever. But just made
you feel like you were there with them.
And you wanted to be there with them. Yeah, you wanted to be doing it.
Even the props episodes made you feel like you were at a contest with everybody.
Yeah, right.
You'd look so forward to them. I even liked it when props had the racing. It was fun, you know?
Right. Because the way they covered it was cool.
Yeah, I mean, the whole props crew, Marco and Chris, do not get enough. You know, just they did so much and put so much into BMX. You know, and
driving around all those events.
Same with Stu. I mean, there's so the industry side's just crazy. I mean, that would be a whole nother podcast. So.
Yeah, we just keep going on that. With that, I mean, just videographers and long, like Perrick. We already talked about Perrick, but he'd be on that list. Mark Eaton is the first guy on that list. You know, like I don't know. There's so many.
And then photographers. Brad McDonald is Brad McDonald in the Hall of Fame?
Yeah, he should be.
Yeah,
probably not. John Carr is, and Wendy and Bob Osborne, of course. But I don't think John is or Brad is.
Do you think, here's a fun one. Do you think Spike should be in the Hall of Fame?
Man, he really brought a lot to the table. He really did. It was kind of it wasn't very long.
No.
But.
And then you can look at his industry side with the photos. I mean, people still, you know, drew. I have a, Spike sent me a signed photo. I have a signed picture that he shot of Matt at the finals, the one I just talked about with Dominguez. I forgot which city it is because it comes and goes in my head. But his photos are iconic, but people don't – they forget that Spike is was an amazing bike rider.
Oh, yeah. He was great. Dude, he could do anything. He
won amateur contests.
Yeah, I know. He won the Palm Springs Meet the Street.
Yeah.
I got second at the first Meet the Street. Do you know that?
I do.
I'm always quick to bring that up.
In the good class, that video, the 1988 two hip home video with that first street contest, that's my favorite bike video ever. So I've watched that street contest, I would say over 1,000 times. So I know it didn't Vic win?
Yeah.
Vic and his orange Peregrine mags took you out that time.
Yeah. Yeah, he rules. Yeah, I don't know. Brian Foster's in already. That's good.
Yeah.
I knew he was in just to remember his speech was so awesome.
Dude, that's one of the awesomest things. If you guys go to the USA BMX YouTube and type in Hall of Fame, they do these awesome like videos covering people's careers and then the speeches. Like if you want to go down a rabbit hole, those things are really fun. That Kevin Jones one this year was awesome.
Yeah.
And then the TJ Lavin one, TJ's speech last year was, I mean, TJ's such, just, he's a good dude.
You know, he's like, just a powerhouse. He's just a powerful human being. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. But the Brian Foster one is like a tearjerker, which you wouldn't expect from him.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's so inspiring. And like, he's so full of emotion and so like gracious, you know, it's just awesome.
Well, are we missing anything?
I don't know. You and I are never going to be in the Hall of Fame after this
one. I don't know. I just wanted to bring some attention to it. This is the first podcast I did where I'm not in person with someone. So we're doing this over the computer. So,
but rainy basements.
Yeah. I'm in my office. It's rainy. You're in your basement. It's rainy. So
I can totally hear it. Rain.
Yeah. It's dumping above me. So, yeah, I can't think of anything else. You know, I just, if you guys are interested in the Hall of Fame, I just say go to USA BMX, look at it. It sounds like on their end, they might need to clean it up a little so it's easier to navigate. But I think some of the best things is if you go to their YouTube channel and go to the search bar and just type in Hall of Fame, it'll bring up a bunch of stuff. And just some of the speeches and stuff we were talking about are like just inspiring. And then the little videos they play before, just kind of like a highlight thing.
They do. Awesome. They do just a great job with those videos. And like,
yeah, they do. The guy, they, like, I don't know who the dude is that narrates them, but the dude's voice. Yeah,
the narrator's amazing. The narrator's funny, but
it's not really like this. It feels like some dude should be narrating, like, you know, the old motorcycle video, Any Given Sunday or something, like some that, like that type of narrator. It just, whoever they have narrating it, just keep that dude, because
it's totally ABC's wide world of sports.
Yeah,
commentator, it's crazy, but
he breaks it down, and you're like, it gets he pulls you in immediately. So
yeah, Kevin Jones.
All right, well, cool. Yeah, I think we're done.
All right.
So thank you guys for listening, and
sorry to everyone we offended.
Yeah, we're not trying to offend anybody, but
that's a long time.
We just care. We do care, and we'll catch you guys next podcast.
Yeah.
Everyone, thanks for listening. We should be doing podcasts, I'd say, at least once a month, maybe a few times more is kind of what I'm shooting for. If you're looking for some more BMX content in your life, you guys can head over to digbmx.com, or you can head over to our YouTube channel, which is Snakebite BMX. I've just been posting up a lot of the 1988 AFA Masters in Palmetto, Florida. So if you want to go check that out, go give it a look. I posted up the first Canadians A video that came out in 1990, and I think that has the first Jay Miron part, and that's all up on our YouTube channel. So head over there, give it a listen, and we'll see you guys next time.